Okay, we can start.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go get a coffee.
Okay, I'll be right here anxiously awaiting your return.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I expected a little bit more of the hi-hat. On your high horse.
I am on it right now.
That makes it the ultra hi-hat.
Yeah, I'm on the horse with the hat.
Welcome to episode 236 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
I think I threw you there a little bit.
Yeah, I was confused as to where I was.
Where do I come in? Oh no, I don't want to... I blew it. You overthought it.
Yeah.
What is going on, Adam?
A little smoky in Vancouver these days.
I hear. We've been having our own little heat wave. I mean, in fact, our heat wave is probably way hotter here than it is there. But I saw the pictures and thought, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I was away, and so I was in, you know, beautiful blue skies, you know, gorgeous, nice weather, and then I came back to find Vancouver under sort of a cloud of smoke. So that's been... It's not as bad today. It was really bad the last couple of days, though. So as a result of forest fires, not directly here, but in areas around BC, and the smoke seems to be settled in the lower mainland of Vancouver. So, yeah, that's interesting.
And so I've seen the pictures. It's causing a very red sky.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess at sun up and sundown, it's for the most part, it just looks like really overcast days, even though the forecast says sunny, 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 and it's hot, but it's just, yeah, there was a layer of smoke that makes it look like overcast. And then when you can see the sun shine through, so it's really interesting at sunrise and sunset, you just see the big orange glow of the sun in amidst this sky that otherwise looks like a overcast, hazy day.
So is the forecast, is it going to clear?
I think they're saying some significant wind coming later this week, so hopefully that will clear it. So I'm hoping anyways, because when I came into Vancouver 2 days ago, it literally smelled like I was right in front of a campfire. That's kind of the smell. No. Yeah, it was really, really strong, and I don't have a strong sense of smell, but it was pretty bad, and now it's just sort of hazy, but it doesn't have that same smell anymore, so it's less pungent.
Got it.
Yeah. So I mean, I didn't have the windows open for the last 2 days. Today's the first day I've like opened up the windows because I've been just trying to basically seal the house so that, you know, it doesn't get that sort of campfire smell on the inside.
Wow. Well, it's made for some, I'll say, interesting pictures, but only because it's really, they're kind of spooky.
Yeah. I haven't taken any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody else did, so you're set, you're sorted.
Yeah, I figure I don't really have much to contribute here.
We had, over here, we played baseball on the weekend, of course. We won, which is exciting. Knocked off a team that was much, much better record than ours. Possibly knocked them out of the playoffs, which made us feel pretty good.
Yeah.
But the weird thing was that we played, it was 40 degrees.
Wow.
40, and that's in Celsius.
Yeah, that's what it was when we were in a Soyuz, 40 degrees. But there's a wind off the water, so it doesn't feel that bad. Yeah,
yeah, we had no wind, and we had to play a doubleheader, 2 9-inning games. And I was like, we just drank a lot of water. I drank every half inning. So that's,
15, 20 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I drank a half a liter of water every half inning.
Wow.
So by the end of the day, that was you add up how many I drank. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So I was worried. I was thinking, oh man, I'm the old man. If I just go down because of the heat, that'll look bad.
Yeah, but you survived.
I made it. Made it okay. So there you go. So that's the the Heat's tapering off now, just for those keeping score at home.
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, you'll be interested in that. I don't know that any of our listeners care, but went to my first game at Nat Bailey Stadium on Canada Day.
Is that your first game ever?
Yeah, never been to Nat Bailey, and I would have talked about it because we podcasted on that Canada Day last week, but later that day, kind of decided last minute that I wanted to go. There's a Canada Day game, and they're having fireworks after the game, and I thought I really want to do this. Of course, game was sold out like weeks ago. And just on Craigslist, another great Craigslist experience. Someone put up tickets like 3 hours before game time. I kept checking back at Craigslist and snatched them up and took the family to the ball game and loved it. Took pictures of the kids in the stands. Did not take any photos of the game itself, but got a few nice pictures of the kids at the game. Haven't posted anything yet, but I will do that.
It's a good spot for it.
Yeah, I loved it. I will definitely go back. I know you've been raving about it for years. Nobody else probably who doesn't live in Vancouver cares, but very, very nice experience and great fireworks show too. So,
I highly recommend it. I mean, it is one of the prettiest stadiums around, just mostly because of the setting. I mean, it's the old-time stadium, but they've done a few rentals. I know they've done a couple of rentals this year.
It looked brand new, yeah.
Oh, the whole thing did?
I'd never been in there before, but it looked really, really nice.
Wow.
Okay. So I had nothing to compare it to as far as never having been there before the renovations, but it looked great to me. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I've actually, it's funny because in the league I play in now, I run into guys who played against the Vancouver Canadiens.
Okay.
And they all rave. They go, oh, yeah, I love that park.
Yeah,
I love,
for those keeping score, it's single A, and the Vancouver Canadiens are the Toronto Blue Jays affiliate for single A.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And so any of the guys who come through, they like playing. I don't think they like playing there necessarily, because it's tough to hit the ball out of that park, but they do love it aesthetically. Mm-hmm. Put it that way.
Yeah, yes. And for single A ball, like I think almost most games are sellouts, so you're getting whatever 6,000-7,000 people playing single A ball almost every time you have a home game. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah. We'll like to hear that. That's the fact that you're buying tickets off Craigslist is a really good sign for them. I guess that's why they expanded this year and put more stands in. So that's great, man. And so are you going to go back?
I will go back absolutely this year, hopefully.
Yeah, and the kids liked it?
The kids loved it, yeah. Stayed. We were there half hour before game time and stayed right through to fireworks afterwards. So, no, it was great. Yeah, nobody asked to leave.
And one last question, where did you sit?
We kind of sat really good seats between sort of home and third base, kind of like I'd say halfway in between. Mm-hmm. But not knowing the stadium, not knowing the tickets, these were the only tickets that were available unless I wanted to buy off the scalpers. It was just take what you can get. But it was on the third base side, so you know where the sun comes down, and we were just outside of where the covering of the shade is. So it was pretty warm until about 8:30. And also just based on where the sun was, when you're trying to look at, you know, where the pitch comes in, it's pretty bright based on the angle to where the sun is. So it was really nice once the sun went behind the mountains, and then it was perfect because a little cooler too.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was in the low 30s that day, and with not a whole lot of wind at the ballpark.
But photographically, it makes for a really nice angle for photos of your kids.
Exactly. It was great photos for taking pictures of the kids where we were at. Yeah.
Great.
So there you go.
I'm glad to hear it. Amazon.
Yes, you kind of
next time
fumbled that.
Well, no. We talked. We don't have to do it in the same spot every time. Come on, we're not German.
Yeah.
Next time you buy Canadiens tickets, just buy them on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm sure they have it. They probably have the history of the Vancouver Canadiens book on Amazon.
They probably do. They probably have Nat Bailey himself.
There you go. There you go.
Who is also he's the guy who started White Spot.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
There you go. A little tidbit for the kids listening at home.
Yeah.
White Spot is a restaurant chain in British Columbia.
Yeah, nobody else, even in Canada, probably knows what it is.
Probably not.
Because I was in the East in Toronto, never heard of it.
Right. Guy who used to umpire in my... This is another little tidbit for the kids. Guy who used to umpire in my league back home used to play for the Vancouver Canadians when they were AAA and when they were called the Vancouver Mounties.
Wow.
So he but that on his way up to, I think it was Philadelphia, who he ended up playing with. He played in the majors for a few years. And he has, I believe he has the distinction of playing all nine positions in one major league game.
How does that come about?
I guess it was like a stunt at the end of the year, probably, and he went around and he pitched an inning, caught an inning, and you understand, just made the circuit.
Right.
And so that was pretty impressive, but he was always a funny guy. He'd always chirp you. He was a very, very good ball player, so whenever, you know, you come to the plate, he'd kind of make fun of you a little bit as an umpire.
Okay.
So it's always kind of nice. Like, you know, I won't get into those, but...
He called you some funny names.
Not me, because... You know, I'm a very nice guy, but anyway, they used to be called the Vancouver Mounties, which is that's about as Canadian as it gets.
Except for literally calling yourself Canadians.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Anyway, click through our site. We appreciate the support.
Okay.
Besides that, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Well, I went to a Soyuz like I had mentioned on the last
podcast. Let's back that up a little bit.
Okay.
Did you shoot the parade or what?
I went to the parade just to see my daughter. She was dancing in the parade, but the way it turned out, because again, I didn't know what was going to happen, where I positioned myself when they came down, I kind of got my wife because she was kind of marching behind with them and their group, but they had... them taking turns between dancing, like there was, I don't know, 30, 40 girls. So they had kind of two shifts. They would dance and then they would hand out candy. And so when she came past our section, she was in the handing out candy phase. So really there was nothing to take a picture of. She kind of was walking along the sign, along the side of the road, passing out candy. So she gave her brother some candy, but yeah, I took one snapshot as she ran up, but it's a nothing picture. No reason to even keep it, and a lot of it was, again, just being there to support the team, basically.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, the important part, not your kids so much.
Yeah.
The count on the selfie sticks.
Zero.
You must have got there at a bad time.
No, I can't believe there was zero. I know. There. It was actually a proud day for me as a Richmondite in Vancouver, because... Not a single. And I looked high and low because I couldn't believe that this was happening. Not a single selfie stick, not one in the parade, not one person did I observe amongst thousands of people that I passed with a selfie stick.
That is a point of pride.
I know. I feel like we're better than the rest of the world because I don't think any other parade on the planet could make this claim.
Not a one.
No.
Not one parade.
No.
No, well, that's great. One of our listeners sent a link about a guy who had a selfie stick and was hit by lightning because of it.
That's good. I like that. Now, that makes me also think, I don't think I mentioned it on the last podcast, but I was talking about how I was so proud to my wife and, you know, the kids overhear things. And I think we're in the car and my kids are in the back and I thought they weren't paying attention, but they were. So we're having this conversation about how I hate selfie sticks and so happy that I didn't see any selfie sticks. Al will never believe that there was no selfie sticks. And then my daughter chirps in from the back, Dad, I really want a selfie stick. And then I thought all is lost. I lectured her to no end about why you should never have a selfie stick. And her response was, yeah, but I still want a selfie stick.
I have a selfie dad who follows me around snapping my photo.
Oh, but here's the even better part is my son, okay, 6 years old, chirped back in again with headphones on, watching some movie in the car. Yeah, me and daddy aren't selfie guys. That was his exact words. Me and daddy aren't selfie guys. Proud moment for me. Very
call it a save.
Yeah, very proud moment for me. I still got to work on the daughter though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried it might just be a lost cause.
She
Wow.
She wasn't like, don't worry, Dad, I'm going to save my own money and get myself a selfie stick. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but there it is. It's even in my own blood. They're turning on me.
Nah, there's a whole list of things that you thought you would have had to deal with a daughter, and that wasn't one of them.
No, not on the list.
Yeah, wonderful. We had the kids' birthday party. Like, last we talked, I think we probably had a birthday party, but you know how it goes with the kids.
There's more than one.
Well, they actually do. It's a pretty good job. They separate them. They have their big family party where it's kind of a big thing. It's an all-day sort of, you know, barbecue and hike and all the stuff that we did, which I'm pretty sure we talked about last show.
Yeah, we talked about, yep.
But then after that, we had the kids' birthday, which means just only her friends from, like, kindergarten.
Right, yeah.
And so that's, like, you know, we invite select five of the, you know, the best kids in kindergarten and ignore the rest. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be exclusive, and you have to make sure that the other kids know that they're not invited, and here's why. No, we don't do that. But they don't have rules here where you have to invite the whole class.
Okay.
I've heard that's a thing.
No. For the most part, no. You still just, maybe not, you handpick the kids that they like, and that's
right. Maybe not in the land of no selfie sticks, but other places I've heard that, yeah, you can't do that without having everybody come. But regardless, you invite five of your friends. It's like 2.5 hours. They're just, you know, you make cupcakes and splash around in the backyard, whatever it is that you do.
Right.
And so I thought ahead of time, I thought there is no way I'm going to get a single photo from this event. Like this nothing, it's not just not possible. You know, 5 4-year-olds running around, it's just going to be a hot mess.
Okay.
But what do we do for the grab bags? What if we do something cool? What about if I set up a photo booth, and when they all first come in, before we get into anything, we just do, you know, take a picture of my daughter with each of her friends.
Okay.
And then while they're doing their little, you know, running around in the backyard, I go upstairs and print them, and they walk out the door with them.
That's cool, yeah.
So it worked out. I don't think they, at four, they didn't have a real appreciation of that, of the nostalgia. The nostalgia, like, oh, I remember when I was 3. Yeah, those were a thing.
Yeah.
Photo booths. And then also, you know, the work involved, which isn't a ton of work, but just to turn it around in like less than an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it actually takes less than that, but it worked out. The parents liked it. They thought it was a pretty good little souvenir, and I was actually able to get some pictures that I could use versus just the back of kids' heads while they're running past me.
Right. Did you just print them on your home printer, or how'd you do this?
Yes, just on my home printer.
Okay.
And just quickly cut them out, and we go right in the grab bag and print a copy for my daughter, of course, so she can have a little keepsake, and that was that.
You know, it's interesting. My daughter just went to a birthday party like a week and a half ago, and her friend, who is having the birthday party, got one of these new Fuji, you know, basically like Instamatic cameras, the right?
Polaroid,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, Polaroid. And so that was one of her birthday presents, and she essentially did a picture with each kid that came to her party just on her camera. Like, the mom took it on her new camera, and then in Sarah's bag, she came home with this little Polaroid of her and the friend. And I thought, that's awesome. And then, of course, Sarah wants now one of these Polaroid cameras. So I said, again, save your money. I'm happier with that than I am with the selfie stick. But I actually was like super excited that she actually wanted one of these cameras for $100, and she was going to save her own money to pay for it. I was like, great. To me, that was a great use of $100.
I have seen them in the stores, but I haven't really done that much homework on them. Are they actually like a film print? Or it's not like a digital Polaroid, is it?
I don't exactly know what it's doing, because I just saw the actual little print. It looks like a little Polaroid to me, so yeah. I don't know how it's generating it. It still has auto everything as far as I can tell, and there was a flash that went off on this one, but I don't know how it actually... I think it's the old school way, but I...
The old photochemical process.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
And you buy the little, like, reels of the... It basically works out to be about $1 a pop. So, you know, they're not just going to hammer off 50 photos, right?
Well, that's kind of awesome.
I mean, know. I
something kitschic and you know, again, nostalgic about that. But the fact that, you know, even like your daughter is, it's on her radar.
Yeah.
You know, because you think about it, like when you were a kid, basically you probably had one friend or aunt or somebody who had a Polaroid, and it was like, really? You know, like we have better pictures now, Grandma. Come on.
Yeah.
And yet they are awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's for kids, again, it's basically the ultimate in instant gratification. Not only is it like looking at the back of your LCD, you're taking this physical print away with you, right? So I do think it's not far off of, you know, the way it's gone with digital. So that part, it again, seems to mesh with how they are all about instant gratification. But I do like the fact that if you're composing a picture, you're going to think about it a little more. You're not just going to snap off a whole bunch. And you know, having that physical print to hand to somebody else is really appealing to me. So I like mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
As do I. This week's photo challenge.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Okay. It is, let's just do Polaroids. Forget it. We had something else planned. Let's just talk about Polaroids for okay. the photo challenge.
Okay.
What do you got?
I don't have one.
Oh, me neither.
Okay. On to all the right, other
let's do water.
One.
Yeah. Let's do our backup. Our plan B was water.
Right.
And I picked this one. I threw this into your wheelhouse because I knew you were going to the lake.
Right. Well, you and didn't so know. It just worked out that way.
No, I knew.
Did you know?
Yeah, you said you're going to a Soyuz.
And then you said, okay, let's make a water?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had it preloaded.
No. I don't have anything. Come on. Preloaded. No. I knew. I knew you were going. And I thought, you know what? Let's toss Adam a muffin and make this one easy.
Okay.
And then you came up with this.
Are we talking about mine or yours first?
Well, yours first. Let's go with yours because it's all about you at this point.
Okay, so mine was taken in a Soyuz. I think you can tell what's going on here.
I can. It looks like they're boogie boarding, but the wrong direction and in a lake.
Yeah, basically we're in a lake, and that day there was white caps on the water and a fair bit of sort of rocky waters, and the waves weren't big enough to kind of surf all the way in on the boogie boards very well, but what they liked is kicking head on into them as they would kind of crash. And so this is basically them taking the waves on one at a time. So it was like sometimes it would flip them over, but they just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And I liked it from this perspective because then, you know, I could use the sun at my back. This is, you know, right before sundown, so our sort of golden hour light, where it's just great for taking any photos. You know, you get, I had so many, I probably took in this point, because I'm in the water, as you can tell, and I'm basically, I can't even see the waves, so I'm getting beat up by the waves as they're coming in, and my camera's getting wet and all the rest, but I don't really care. I've got the backup camera, as we talked about, and I probably got in the half hour, 45 minutes that we spent out here doing this, I probably got, 75 photos, you know, 40 of which would be keepers. I really had to get selective because there's just too many of them doing essentially the same thing, but different expressions, different angles, different amounts of water. I picked this one because of all the water spray and because the challenge was water. I wanted, you know, obviously to make water the forefront, but I had literally could have chosen 25 or 30 different photos I took this evening and thrown it in for the challenge. So I had mm-hmm. to settle on something. I wanted something with both my kids. I liked the angle of the light. I liked the expression. So and then I liked the spray of the water in the background.
As do I. No, this is a great shot. It's pretty much what we talked about last week, how to shoot around the water. You took everything and applied it.
Yes, I did, and that's kind of why I use this too, is because this had to be done from in the water. I had the crop camera. The only thing I brought with me was the Canon T2i, the crop sensor camera that I have, and a 50 millimeter lens. That's all I brought. No flash, no long zoom.
You brought the 50?
Yeah, I brought the 50. And I chose the 50 because I like the depth of field that I get with the 50 a little bit better than I get with the 31.4. And on the crop camera, it just gives me a little bit more reach. And so I knew I was going to be out at the lake, and I knew I could always back up enough if I needed to. So I wasn't worried about that. My question was, would I bring the 70 to 200 or would I bring the 50 or the 85? And I thought, well, I was going to for sure want to have one big group shot. And that was one of the reasons I brought the camera in the first place, was to get a big group shot of the family and everything on the beach. So I thought, okay, well, the 70 to 200 will be too difficult to do that shot with. And again, it's long and it's heavy to carry around with me, and I don't really want to bring it in the water. And the 85, again, is great for the portrait shot, but if I want to include kind of everyone's bodies and in the mix, I'm always going to be finding on the crop sensor that I'm almost too close. So I settled on the 50 as probably just a good all-around happy medium. Not the greatest lens for portraits, but a really solid lens, and also can do the group shots a lot easier. So that was why I just wanted to take one lens that I settled on the 50. And again, I was super happy with my choice.
Absolutely. And now your wife had her iPhone, I bet.
She had her iPhone. I don't think it ever... she might have taken one or two pictures, but I don't think we ever really took a photo on our iPhone. And I don't think really I took any videos or anything. It was just me out in the waves taking photos.
I'm just thinking, like, with the 50 on the crop sensor, you're not going to get a panorama of the lake.
No, and
if you want one for the photo album, it's like, you know, okay, or just to remember, hey, this was the panorama of the lake.
Yeah,
you can pop that with your iPhone.
Yeah,
and then just
yeah. And I thought about it, and then I also but I never did it. And I also thought about doing kind of like shoot a whole bunch and gluing them together in Photoshop. But then I kind of thought, no, don't need it. It looks like a lake with mountains. Like that's all it is. And I did a group shot from an angle kind of going down the beach that in my mind shows what it looked like. But it looks like any body of water next to mountains. There's nothing to it unless, to me, and this is again my opinion, you put some people in front of it doing something. And I took lots of those photos. So I definitely am going to put up a whole boatload of, pardon the pun, of photos from my trip, because there's so many, and so many like ones that I really liked. And I just, again, had a hard time choosing. So super happy with the results I got with just, again, simple setup, 50 mil crop sensor camera and go.
In a vacuum, I would say, like, if this was like the only picture you took on your trip, I would say, because your daughter should be in focus.
Exactly.
But knowing that you have 30 of them, I'm guessing she's probably in focus in at least one of the other ones.
Yes. She's in focus in a lot of them. And I even had them sometimes lined up where they're next to each other. But I don't know. I liked this for just different reasons, and mostly because it spoke to me about the water in particular. And I had really good ones of her by herself and really good ones of him by himself. But I kind of, for this, I wanted to pick one of both of them for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And again, just really liked how the water kind of that she's kicking sort of sprays in behind him. I just like the angle and everything else. So just, again, had to pick a horse. I had a lot to choose from. And like I say, I'll put them up on Facebook. I'm not just blowing smoke here. There are quite a few good photos. Just because, again, good light, not scared to go out with my camera in the water and wait for the right time of day. And it's shooting fish in a barrel, really.
Now, this is one of those things we talked about, possibly using a polarizer in a situation.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you didn't, because you would have lost that nice little reflection on the bottom left of the image.
Yes, I brought a polarizer, or I bought the neutral density filter, which essentially for mine, it's a variable one, which is two polarizers, and they're just kind of superimposed. So I brought that, and I did use it in some photos, but didn't use it in this particular photo. But I used it some days, took it off some days. Again, I found with the color of this water at this time of day, the reflections were never really that harsh. And so,
No, they're nice.
And so it never really, again, if you're shooting in the middle of the day, different story, but at this time it really wasn't bad at all. And so I found that, you know, when I did shoot with the neutral density filter, again, it's really, really limits your shutter speed, which makes it difficult to completely stop motion and stop the water, right? So, yeah,
yes.
I was going to live with the reflection most of the time.
No, in this case, it looks great because you have that kind of golden hour reflecting. Now, you used a fill flash on this.
No flash.
Really?
Yeah, no flash. All natural.
It's kind of funny because look at the shadow on from his chin.
Yeah.
From your son's chin, it almost looks like you have just a little fill flash on the camera going off.
Nope. No flash. Wow,
but then, now that you say that, I look over there and your daughter has the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no way that it would actually register the same intensity, just like with him being that close to the camera, her being further away, that a fill flash would not be as intense on her chin as it is on his, and they're both the same.
Yeah, and I mean, the sun is super low, so this is probably, mm-hmm. 25 minutes before the sun's right down, and that's just the angle.
Directly
that it's
behind you.
Yeah, exactly, directly behind me, so that's why they're so evenly lit. So, no, this is all natural light. But I agree, when I first looked at it, I'm like, wow, that looks like just a ton of flash, but it's mm-hmm. completely natural light.
All right.
There you go.
All right, well, here's... I didn't have as many to choose from.
Okay.
But I still like this shot of my son enjoying the pool until about 1 second before this was taken.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's my daughter on the left.
I figured, rather than just some random kid bullying him.
That could happen, too.
Yeah.
Although he's under strict instructions not to be bullied.
Okay.
I've talked to him, and also don't be a bully. That's what he's
right.
He's not doing that either.
Yeah.
But this is him at the kiddie pool, and I'm excited now because we can leave him alone, but I don't have to helicopter over him
right
the whole time, especially in this pool where it's not that deep. But he can actually get out of the water himself without drowning,
which is a good thing.
I do, for those listening at home, again, I do stay within, I would say 2 arms length. I can move quickly and get him out of the water if I have to, but I can leave him on his own. But, yeah, this is his sister just torturing him.
Yeah. Was there a huge cry like 3 seconds after this?
No.
No, he didn't mind this.
No, my son is weird because when he cut his face open, didn't cry. When he falls down, he cries a little bit, but he's fine. When he gets this in the face, he doesn't really cry. If you're slow giving him his banana, forget it. The waterworks come out. So
yeah.
Don't make that mistake.
Okay. I like the photo. I think it's a great moment. I love how it looks like his head is like I guess a part of it's the angle. But just like he's completely being knocked over by the intensity of that that blast of water on his head, and just the angle that it ricochets off, it almost looks like how they do the slow mo in like a Tarantino movie or something, where he's getting his head blown off, like just the way the water bounces off. Obviously, this is a picture of your child. Let's not turn it into a gore fest, but just, the way you've got the angle, Dutch angle, is that the phrase you use for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of exaggerates what's happening here in a good way.
All right. Well, thanks. Right. And, I don't know if that was part of it. It was just, that was part of my plan. It was just hurry up and shoot, 'cause this is happening.
Yeah. hey, keep doing it. Keep doing it, yeah. Emily. Keep doing it. He likes it.
I'd have to try to remember back about what time of day it was. We do have some slightly longer shadows, so this isn't quite at noon. This is probably around 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit later. Maybe 5 o'clock. We went to the pool, that day. It was, I forget which day this was, actually, but it was pretty warm. It was one of those days where I think it was 38 degrees the next day after the baseball. And so we decided, hey, we'll go to the pool. And as you can imagine, we were the only ones there. It was just us.
Mm-hmm. It looks like yeah.
No, everybody. And this was a rare, uncrowded moment in the pool because it was everybody and their dog was at the pool that day. And so I brought the 30mm lens and the... because when it was my wife and I were both there, which is makes it a little bit easier, but having the two kids at the pool doesn't make for a lot of photo opportunities because we're really just busy watching the two kids.
Right.
And so it's one of the few times where I actually pulled the camera out, and this was completely unstaged. It just, she just was behaving like this, and happened to catch it just in time. But because I was ready, because I had, you know, all the settings dialed in terms of shutter speed and all that ahead of time, was able to capture this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, I think it's great, and definitely one for the scrapbook. That not only is it you know, a fun picture for us, but I think your kids, when they're a little older, will really appreciate this photo. This is one that, again, for your family in particular, your daughter and your son will love looking at this photo. So mm-hmm. one to tack up on their room. Like Sarah has a little magnetic kind of board now that she tacks up pictures in her room. So she sees pictures that I'm doing, and she asks, "Oh, Dad, can you get that one printed?" And then she has a little magnet she puts up. This is the perfect photo for your kids to look at, and I think laugh at as they get older.
I'll send one to your daughter.
There you go.
Put it on her wall.
Put it on her her magnetic board.
Great, this week's topic.
Okay.
Let's just do water again. It was pretty successful.
Yeah, I love, it's summertime, I love taking pictures in the water because you're always around the water, right?
We are quite often around the water.
Yeah.
For us, again, it's the pool. You know, we don't live next to a lake. We don't live near the ocean, which is, you know, we kind of miss. But what after this weekend, what did you enjoy more, taking ocean pictures or the lake pictures?
I have to say the lake.
It's pretty fun with the kids because you can kind of just leave them. Not leave them, but again, you don't have to be as sort of vigilant.
This lake is the perfect place for kids, where we went because it never, like, you go 200 meters out, it's still not over their heads. So it is so shallow, that lake. That's the beauty of it. It's one of the, I think it's the warmest lake in Canada. I think that's what their claim to fame is, because it's so shallow and it's so hot in Osoyoos, BC, that the lake was, it was like being in the Caribbean. And I'm not kidding you. It was probably in the mid-80s, the water temperature. So wow. you could stay out there all day, and it's not too hot because there's a warm breeze that's coming off the water. So, I mean, the only danger is that you don't have enough sunscreen on, because it doesn't feel like you're ever getting that hot. And you go on the beach, and if you stay in the sun, you get pretty warm. You go in the shade, and it's just perfect. And we were out at the water like hours and hours and hours at a time, basically from morning, and then a little break in the afternoon, and then back out after dinner for more, right until sundown. Like, my kids thought the greatest thing was the sundown swim. So basically I was just bringing the camera out for sundown swim time.
And plus you can't walk 5 feet up there without passing a fresh fruit stand.
Oh yeah, fresh fruit or an ice cream stand. It's one or the other. Yeah,
so there's our travel log for the interior of British Columbia. Yeah. Go check it out.
Yeah, anybody who comes to BC and has the time, I've this is my first time to Osoyoos. We'll be going back every year until I don't live here anymore. It's that awesome.
Now, shifting gears a little bit. Now, again, we're going to keep talking about how to take pictures in the sunlight, but instead of your candid stuff, how do we get nice posed portrait shots in the harsh sun?
Okay,
that can happen now. I mean, we got the midsummer sunshine. What do we do? So we're going to talk a little bit about how to overpower the sun.
Okay.
So I got a news flash for you.
Mm-hmm.
The sun.
Mm-hmm.
Bright.
Very.
Real bright. You know, and so how do we deal with that? Because I mean, but in theory, if some is good, more is better, and that must be the case with light.
Right, except not always the case.
Not always the case. I mean, you have that kind of midday sun, or even, you know, into 2 or 3 o'clock, it can still be pretty harsh at this time of year, which means unflattering light, poor colors, maybe get like a haze kind of in the air, like the skies don't get quite blue, like photographically, I mean. Doesn't look great.
Right.
We can fix that.
Okay, tell me more.
Ironically, by using more light.
Right.
But before we light this, we need to compensate our camera settings for the massive amount of available light.
Okay.
Where do we start? What's the first setting that we pretty much dial in before we leave the house?
ISO.
ISO. So on a hot, sunny, bright, sunny day, if we're going to overpower the sun, what kind of ISO are we looking at?
100.
It's like I'm Paul Coffey and you're Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
No, wait, I want to be Wayne Gretzky. You be Paul Coffey.
I was surprised you let me be Gretzky.
It's just because I was drinking coffee just now.
Okay, so you're thinking
and
about
I
coffee.
Just made that. Yeah, I'll be Yari Curry. How about that?
Sure, I'll be Glenn Anderson.
Done.
Okay.
So yeah, so start with the lowest possible ISO. And now for most cameras, that's going to be ISO 100. I think there's a few that really only went to ISO 200, the lowest. Some of your cameras are going to have like a fake ISO, like a fake 50.
Yeah, that's what the 6D has one. It's like they call it low ISO, and it's basically supposed to be 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's from what I understand, that is just a digital kind of digital rendition.
Yeah,
like it takes your picture and then ramps it down a stop.
Yeah, I really don't use it very often.
I have that. I've had that disabled on all of my cameras for so long that I forgot it's a thing on my cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So same with the high ISO. It goes up to 16. Like in my 40D, it goes up to 1600 and then has a high setting,
mm-hmm.
which basically stands for high. That's a bad photo.
Yeah.
So I don't bother. So I go to the lowest native ISO, which is 100. Now that's going to knock down an awful lot of light.
Right.
Next thing I consider... shutter speed.
Okay.
So now you know that you're going to be introducing your flash. What are your considerations on shutter speed?
It depends on, am I going to use high-speed sync or not?
Not yet.
Okay, so if I'm not using high-speed sync, then I'm going to go to the max sync speed that my camera will do.
Which isn't, relatively speaking, isn't that fast.
No.
So let's say your camera will sync at, for the sake of an argument, 1/200th of a second. Some go faster, some go slower.
Yep, okay.
Now what that means is that is the fastest, the quickest shutter speed that you can get that your flash will still be effective.
Okay.
Your flash will still light the entire frame. Now at 1/200th of a second... that still leaves an awful lot of light. Now, we know what the Sunny 16 rule is, right?
Yeah, I can't really remember it exactly.
Okay, but on a sunny day at f16, your shutter speed is going to be the inverse of your ISO.
Okay.
So that means if you have an ISO of 100 and a shutter speed of 1/100th, you're going to be looking at our next setting, which is aperture, is going to be f16.
Okay.
Now, at 1/200th, that's going to drop you down to an f11. So right out of the gate, you can go ahead and set your camera without even taking a metering shot. You can look at that and go, ISO 100, 1/200th of a second, f11. You're going to get pretty much a perfect quote-unquote exposure.
Okay.
We might want to underexpose a little bit to save some highlights since we're going to light it anyways.
Okay.
Which that might mean in a F11-16 split. But let's just call it F11 for now. What this is going to do, this is going to wrangle all the available light into something we can manage. It's going to give us a decent image. I mean, technically.
Yeah.
Artistically, no. It's going to be kind of a mess. So now we stop down, we get to all that. Now we need to bring in some light to even things out and overpower that sun.
Right.
We need to fill an F11.
Right.
With flash. That's no easy task.
Yeah, that's a lot of flash needed.
So, let's talk about doing it with a small strobe, which is what most people are doing.
You mean speed light, right?
Yeah, speed light, yes. Yeah. Sorry, a small flash, a little, your whatever it is. Like, most times I use my SB28, my old Nikon.
Right. I use the Canon 430 EX2s.
Okay. So now, what are we looking at? Now, what's the best way to introduce enough light that we're going to fill up that F11?
Probably full power.
Full power, that's the first thing. Full power, I even go to full zoom just to get the most concentrated power, the most pop.
Right.
I can. The other thing is it needs to be relatively close to the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't afford the inverse square law and all that good stuff. But you can't afford to have that much fall off. It's going to have to be in pretty and tight. Now we're talking off camera. I don't often shoot on camera. You can, but then you're going to use ETTL probably. But and it'll do the heavy lifting for you. But off camera, it needs to be relatively close.
Okay.
Now this is with no modifier. You're probably not going to use a modifier, as modifiers like a softbox or something like that, that eats up a lot of your power.
Right.
Bigger source makes a nice softer light, but it's not going to do anything in this situation for the most part. So you're going to shoot it bare and get it pretty close. So that's it. That's basically the one way to do it.
Okay.
What if you do want it soft?
Then you need
How do you overpower it with and get a soft light?
Then you need a more powerful source. You need to get...
Before we get there, though, what if you don't have one?
If you don't have one, and then you can double down on two flashes. I think you did this on a previous challenge with two flashes side by side behind one umbrella or behind a softbox.
That's section B of what we're about to introduce.
Okay, so how do you get it soft?
If you are, you do want to use a modifier in this situation. There is one that you can get away with, and that's a shoot through umbrella.
Okay,
and I wouldn't even say like the soft boxes that you and I have for our speed lights. That is not going to work. I mean that might work, but really probably not, because that eats an awful lot, because there's that the little baffle inside. Mm-hmm. That's going to eat a lot. However, a shoot through umbrella, it eats a fair amount, but not too bad. And with a shoot through, you can place that millimeters out of the frame of your photo,
right?
And when it is up that close, not only is it much softer because it's closer, we don't lose nearly as much power. Why a shoot through and not a reflective? What about one of those reflective?
Well, you have to basically, the light source is further away from the subject that way.
Correct. You have to compensate for the fact that the flash is now in the way, and the flash itself can be close to your subject, but it's shooting the other direction and bouncing back. That's going to be a problem. So I have done this where you get the shoot through and get it right up close, just out of frame, and you'll be surprised that, oh, wow, all of a sudden, you don't even need full power necessarily when it's that close.
Right.
Oftentimes, you can get away with quarter power, which is ideal for recycle times. Now, you mentioned multiple flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Why not throw more than one flash into an umbrella?
Because you should.
You should. That's the trick question. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. They even make these now. I've seen them on Amazon. Another reason to go to Amazon, these little brackets that will hold three flashes. Mm-hmm. And I've even seen basically these little receivers that basically split the transmission to all your flashes. So you have basically one receiver trigger, and it outputs it to each hot shoe.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I know Cheetah Stand makes one of them, because I wanted to buy it, but then they wouldn't ship it to Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
That's something to consider. I don't have that, so I basically just put two stands right next to each other and fire them into the same. The umbrella is on one stand.
Yeah.
With a flash, and the second flash is just kind of in there with it. And what that does is, yeah, sure, it gives you more power, which in this case you might not need if your umbrella is close enough, but that means you can back the umbrella off if you like, or you can crank everything down to like 1/16th power and boost your recycle time.
Right.
Because at full power, it takes, a couple of seconds, really, depending on how old your flash is, to recharge.
Right.
To recycle, but down at, 1/16th power, you're basically firing almost as fast as you want. And that comes in really handy. Have you ever used your Alien, the studio light?
Yes.
Outside?
I have.
What's the comparison?
Way more powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know what the equivalent is. My guess would be 4 flashes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's just based on the power selection that I need. Like I'm often at, you know, 1/8 power or to 1/4 power where I would need full power. So that's kind of the math I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is awesome. And again, what it allows you to do is, again, get that light source further away and light a bigger group. It's a bigger light source. So yeah, it is awesome. You either need a super long extension cord or you need a portable battery pack. I opted for the portable battery pack so that I can take it wherever and whenever. It is awesome.
That sounds very, very handy.
Yes.
And you could put that in a soft box. You wouldn't have to just have it just out of frame. Like you said, you back it off, but you could also modify it much more and still have enough light left to work with.
Exactly.
What about using an ND filter? Cause we know that the flash fills up, you know, we have to fill up that aperture with flash. If we want to open up that aperture, instead of saying, you know, an F11, we want an F4. So we use an ND filter. That should make our life much easier with a flash.
Yes.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, but it still can be done. You still end up using a lot of flash, though.
There's no free lunch. You still use the same amount of flash because basically instead of just filling up the aperture, you now have to overpower the camera's sunglasses to get to that aperture.
Exactly, yeah.
So you still use the same amount of flash. However, this does allow you to narrow the depth of field.
Yes, which is awesome for midday sun. And being able to shoot outdoor portraits in midday sun and get a narrow depth of field. Because, I mean, as far as I know, how can you do it any other way?
Not really.
No. So it is.
Photoshop, probably.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Yeah, it does come in handy. And lastly, the last thing you already mentioned is high-speed sync, which is sort of a camera trick.
Right.
It takes an awful lot of power, but if you do want to have a shutter speed of around 1/4,000th of a second... your flash isn't going to work too well on that.
Right.
So you can enable the high-speed sync, which basically emits a burst of a bunch of flashes just to fill up your frame. And obviously, as you can imagine, uses a ton of power. So it really knocks the effectiveness of the flash down. So again, it needs to be very close, and you're not going to modify that.
Yeah, and it is awesome as well. I love high speed sync off camera flash with midday sun because it just, especially with the capabilities of ETTL, because it lets you kind of, I mean, the way I use it, my kids are doing something high speed midday sun, and I can have a voice activated light stand, being my wife, just basically holding a bare flash and just ETTL, and then I can shoot the action. And 9 times out of 10, it's bang on as far as exposure goes with the ETTL off camera, and it looks awesome. And so you can essentially create the same effect by using an ND filter and using more flash power, but the ability to shoot it at 1/2,000th of a second and completely freeze them swinging or jumping or wherever, it's even better this way, in my opinion.
If you got it, use it. And not everybody has it off camera. I mean, if you get the remotes that you have, that's great. But oftentimes this is done on camera just to make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is something that I don't use that much, but every once in a while it comes up. So that's how to overpower the sun.
Great.
If you want to do it. Next week's challenge
is... Oh, I've got
you
one.
You tell me.
I've got one. It's fun in the sun.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I like the sun and I like fun.
Okay.
So let's do fun in the sun. Sounds great.
Okay.
Websites, Adam. Got one?
AdamSchwartz.ca. Soon I'll also put up some of my Soyuz pictures, but they'll probably show up on Facebook. So check out our Facebook page, Two Hosers Facebook.
Great. Check out my stuff at alanatrich.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and pictures and whatever you want to find out about the stuff we just talked about.
Great.
Until next week. get out there and make better photos.